Here's the test for those with the genuine Spirit of God. They will confess Jesus. They won't deny Jesus, but they'll confess. Listen, listen. They won't back away from the Word. They will confess the Word. See, the spirit of the world wants us to deny the truth. Our soulish realm, that's why sometimes if we live out of our soul, we deny the truth. That's why so many times people raise their children out of the soulless realm. Come on, amen. And we cause so many mistakes because we don't raise our kids out of the truth. People in church, come on, sometimes people are in church and they walk in the soulless realm and they do things against the Word to one another. If you don't love your brothers or sister, you're anti. We got to get real, man. We got to get real. We have to take a hold of this. We have to be responsible. We have to say the way it is, the truth about it. Sometimes the enemy wants to mingle it in where that you're okay. You could say a little bit about Jesus, but then deny him a little bit. We cannot deny. Ever. The Bible says that wives submit to your husbands. I am married to Christ. I need to submit to Him. I need to submit to His Word. Trust His Word that His love for me is so endearing, so powerful, that His words that He has given me are shelters, are protections. They guard me. They heal me. They give me life. They're the light under my path. How desperate I am. I need to have the light. I need my path lit up. How much am I in that Word? How desperate I am for that Word to light my path? We cannot have excuses. Well, I just don't understand it. Listen, you knock, you ask, you seek, you'll find. I promise you. God wants to whisper in your ear. The Holy Spirit is in you. Your spiritual aid. They have aides in school to be with kids, to help them, to understand. We have a spiritual aid within us. His name is the Holy Spirit. I want to take advantage of it. I don't want to get to the other side standing. He says, and the Holy Spirit say, hey, listen, you never took advantage of me. Ever. And begin to show me, this is what I could have done for you. Sorry. I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to walk and I want to experience the fullness. There's no time to waste time. But to take advantage with everything, passionately with what God says. And he says, I've been encouraging. Genuine Spirit of God, they will confess Jesus as Christ, who came in the flesh. Jesus is the Word become flesh. Everyone who does not acknowledge that Jesus is from God has the spirit of Antichrist. I don't want to have the spirit of Antichrist. He says, you've heard that it was coming and is already active in this world. Antichrist is already active. When it's anti-Word, when it's anti-God, anti-Christ, it's no denying that. And when we come into agreement with something besides God's Word, it's anti-Christ. It's coming against the... He is the Word. So my heart has to be a place that I'm confessing to say, God, forgive me. Every one of us. Come on, there's every... Every day I face challenges of sometimes not walking the fullness of that Word. But as the Holy Spirit's in me to guide me, to help me, to nurture me, to lead me, to guide me, to be stronger and stronger, to let the Holy Spirit correct me and lead me and guide me in the right direction, that I make right decisions, I make righteous decisions, that others around you are blessed because I've sowed into the Word in my life, and you're affected because of the right living that I've lived right unto God, that my heart is right, that I don't live in shame. I don't be at a place where that in my hidden places of my heart that I live in shame. That's why some people aren't bold, get bold, because they have a thing in their heart that they're shameful of. I want to live completely open to God, that there's nothing in my heart that I've not confessed to Him. That I can be fully have a Christ out. He says, heard coming of the Lord active in the world. Little children, you cannot be certain that you belong to God and have conquered. Little children, you can be certain that you belong to God and have conquered them. For the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who is in the world. They belong to this world, and they are articulate the spirit of the world. And the world listens to them. But we belong to God. Can you say that tonight? And whoever truly knows God listens to us, listens to that word. Those who refuse to listen do not belong to God. That is how we can know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. And then it goes on, the next part begins to talk about brotherly love. So what he's saying is this, that if there are people out there that deny Christ just like you did, but the love that you have for the truth will convince them that they're living in lies. Love wins. See, it sounds harsh, but keep reading. Because it tells me to love. Because that's the heart of my Father. That even though you deny me, even though you come against my word, I still love you. And I put my spirit in you to guide you, to be a light under your path, to light it up, that you know the truth, that you don't live in a lie, that we don't walk in lies. That, listen, that we know His voice. How do you know His voice? How do you light your path? I got to get the Word in me. It's more than just me giving it to you. It's us just taking it a little bit at a time. Taking bites. Just taking little pieces of it every day. And let it just walk. Watch what happens, man. I promise, man. I promise, I know you do. I'm just saying, just let it continue to work in your life. Because it quickens you, all right? All right, let me just share words for a minute. This, I want to share with Matthew. I'm going to jump. I said I was going to go the whole way through Matthew, but I can't do that. Sometimes I get distracted. And I got distracted. And it might be next week or the week after, but I'm going to start talking about chosen for greatness. It's you. So give me a share. Come on, amen. Come on, we are chosen for greatness. Chosen for greatness. We can't be anything else because I was made in His likeness and image. I'm great. Please tell someone they're great. You're great. It's the one thing that God said, it is good. Nah. He didn't say, He said everything was good. In the Bible, all these, the trees, oh man, that's good. You know, God says, man, that's good. He took time to step back and say, yeah. But not when it came to you. He said, it's good. Very good. That's you. Man, I got to witness some guys today because he was telling me his belly was aching. And I said, but you know what? I said, do you know you're alive today because God thought about every piece that makes you work. Sometimes we don't think about it. Do you know that sometimes there's things going on inside you that God is doing amazing things within your body? You don't realize. The lining in your stomach is renewed every 5 to 7 days. Because without that happening, the cells, it would digest itself. Just that little thought about a miracle. Beth, there was a miracle today. There was a miracle that your organs are working. Come on. Every step that I take, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for my breath. Thank you, I have hair. So let me just get this real quick. I just want to share a few things because I think there's a couple places of faith that happens with faith. God doesn't do things that sometimes there's things that we think we can have a plan or a pattern for faith. And if you read the Word of God, you find out there's no pattern. There's like pattern. There's not like this pattern to faith because there's different places that you are in your faith. There's places that honestly, come on guys, we got to realize this. There's a place called enduring faith. It's called enduring. Can you say that? Enduring faith? Man, that's a hard one, man. When I know that God's telling me, listen, I'm building enduring faith in you. That means that you're faithful in worship, that when you don't have the answers, you still see Him as Almighty God. You still see Him as faithful. That's enduring faith. Come on, that's faith when you stand and everybody is denying God, running away. You're standing having this relationship with God. Moses is standing on the mountain and all the people who come back are having a party against God, worshiping some other God. He stood there enduring faith in the midst of a wilderness, walking through all their problems, all their issues, and he kept walking through them. He's the one that stood on behalf of God, not that God wanted to do it, but he wanted to hear his heart, to know that Moses had the heart of the Father, that he said, I'm going to strike them all dead, and he says, don't do that. That's what I wanted to hear, Moses. Because man, listen, your flesh wants to say, kill them all. Let's start over, man. Just give me Caleb and Joshua. I'm good. But now he says, I want to hear, that's enduring faith. Because you know what enduring faith builds? Character. It builds character. It caused you to come to a place like Sarah that, man, she judged God faithful. I love that. Judged God faithful. She endured. And she believed. Even though she had a few quirks, you know, along the way, but she endured, believed, until she conceived. She didn't become Antichrist, but she let the Word of God be birthed within her. Honestly, man, sometimes what we do is we abort the seed. See, enduring faith is going through the pregnancy, standing on a Word when you want to abort it, when you want to walk away from it sometimes. It's easier. Millions of babies die because it's easier not to raise them. They abort the seed. That's why so many times people come to church and they've aborted the seed of God, the Word of God that's been planted in their hearts. I don't want to abort the seed. I don't want to abort that Word that's in my heart. I want, even if it takes me to endure it, we got to gather around each other to be at a place where that we strengthen one another, that we find one another. That honestly, I pray this in my prayer, that each one of you find somebody that you can invest your life into. Invest into somebody. Text them. Encourage them. Disciple one another. Build one another up. Let sheep begin to have sheep. Breathe life into one another. Don't let one another give up the seed. So let me just go here. He says, so here, this is it. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings, this is in 7:24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, my word, doeth them, and I will liken unto him a wise man, and build his house upon a rock. Wow. You know, that rock is Jesus. Amen.
and the rain descend. And the rain. Say, the rain's coming. It's inevitable. We're not prophesying. It comes. Rains on the just, unjust alike. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Fear no evil. He says, and the floods come. They come. They come. And they beat on the house, and it falls not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man that built his house upon sand. And when the sand descended upon the floods, and the winds blew and beat upon it, the house fell. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And he taught them as one having authority. Wow. People want to listen to people that are convinced in what they know. That we're convinced. That I'm not wishy-washy in my faith. That I'm faithful to him. Because they're looking for an answer. They won't tell you that. They might even deny you or reject you. But what you have is truth. And that's all men search for. It's truth. So he says, and when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, and he worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, can you make me clean? He asked Jesus, is it your will? And what does Jesus say? I want you to know, let's just get it out of the way. Is it God's will to heal? Yeah, because Jesus says, yeah, I will. Come on, amen. He says, yes, I will. So here he says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. And thou clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou and go tell them and make an offering. And he was trying to get him to go and to show the priest that he's here to do business. And his name is Jesus. So let me just try to get through. I just want to get through a couple of these just so. You okay? Just for a minute. I'm just going to go till 25:2, and then I'm going to play a song. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. And most of these centurions are harsh. They're tough. They demand. You know what I'm saying? And they get their way. They, when they say something, they demand it. They get their way. They're hard on people. But there was something different about this guy. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick with palsy, grieving and tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and I'll heal him. That's what Jesus said to him. And he says, and the centurion answered, and he said, Lord, I'm not worthy for thou shouldest to come under my house, but speak your word. Now, I want you to get this. Listen, we got to understand something. This is what he said. Speak your word. There was this confidence within him that he understood something. If you speak your word, then I know there's something about my faith that's in you. If you speak these words, because you're truth, man. And he says, and for I am under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard it, and he marveled, saying unto him, followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found. Now, I want you to catch this, because this is very powerful. I have not found such great faith. No, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall call. Listen, he has not found any faith like that. He was a Gentile. He wasn't part of the chosen nation. He was a Gentile. Do you understand something? That Jesus came back to witness to a chosen people, the Israelites. He came to them first because he honors his word. They were a chosen people that he brought forth out to represent him. The Old Testament was God chose a people, brought them through, and because of the denying, we became up to it. That was God's intention from the beginning, that Gentiles would be opened up to this relationship with the Father. That
That was always the intention of God. But he put first the chosen people, bringing them forth, leading them, guiding them, for them to trust the word of God, trust God, and they didn't do it. So here's Jesus coming to find somebody, one person in Israel that was faithful to his word, and none of those Israelites were. The two times that he said great faith, he said great faith was this man and the woman that he called a dog. And he said, it's not your turn yet. I'm here for the Israelites first, then the Gentiles. So, but even the dogs get scraps on the floor. He says, oh. She wasn't offended. She says, just give me mine. Sometimes we let the offense, what we think he's trying to say, and don't get the truth of the matter, offend us to keep us from giving our promises. We abort the seed. But she didn't. She says, give me my scraps. And he says, man, that's faith. That's great faith. You have great faith in me. And he says, and say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That means the Gentiles. But the children of Israel, of the kingdom, shall be cast out into the outer darkness and shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those that reject Christ. Those that would not receive the mercy and grace of the Father. And Jesus said unto his children, go thy way, for thou hast believed, so be it done. This is faith, that sometimes there's faith that God moves. This is why I said there's different types of faith, that we cannot narrow it down, but this is part of it, that I got to agree with God's word and send his word forth. He said, and as he sent that word forth, before he got there, he was healed. That we got to walk in faith to believe that even before we get there, that his word goes forth. Amen? Jesus was into Peter's house, and he saw his wife's mother laid sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. She didn't ask for prayer. She wasn't looking for it. But Jesus touched her. I want you to hear this and understand something. I believe that we got to understand that God has us in the earth as the body of Christ. That we got to recognize that as they come in and we touch them as a body, that fever, that thing can leave them. And they don't have to have any faith. None. Just leave them like this. If they just touch the body. But the body has to be connected to the head. And he says, he healed all that were sick. He healed all that were sick. Wait, hang on, I'm sorry. He brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. He cast out spirits with his word. And healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, unto himself, took our infirmities, and he bore our sickness. Listen, I don't need to bear them. He did. Amen. Let's come in agreement with that word. Amen. So, just a couple more. He says, now Jesus was great multitude about him. He gave commandments to depart unto the other side. This was word. He gave a command to depart to the other side. That was his word. He spoke a word. Spoke a word. And as they went, he says, they follow. He says, and the one of the disciples wanted to follow him. And we know this. He says, and Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. That sounds harsh. But what he was saying was this. He says, he was telling them that, listen, Christ has to come first. I wrote this down. Supersedes religious duties. That was a religious duty that they were to do, to bury the fathers.
like in that sense, because his father might have died. You had a whole year to bury your father religiously. See what I'm saying? And Jesus says, let the dead. It sounds like it's a harsh thing to say. But the reality of it, it's true. He said, and it supersedes any religious duty. The tradition must never trump following him. Religion must never trump following Jesus. Wow. I cannot let my religion trump my relationship. It says, and when he entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, they came, the tempest, they began to sleep. We all know this. And he rebuked the winds and the sea. That word, rebuke the winds, was the same as rebuking devils. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds obey? And then it jumps down. He said unto, he crossed over to the other side, and there was a man possessed with devils. Let me just get to this last one here, because I want you to hear this. We all know this. You know this story, but let me jump to verse 9, chapter 9. And he says, and entered into a ship, and he's passed over. Again, they passed back over. He says, and behold, they brought him a man with sick of palsy, laying in bed, and Jesus seeing their faith. So here it is. Ready, guys? That's the one where the one person had no faith. Okay? There was the one people that had outstanding faith. And then there's these ones that it wasn't the man, it was them that brought them. It was their faith. See, God wants to see your faith in action, because he wants to see it beyond you just coming in with your issues, but bring others' issues, carrying them, their bed, to his presence. You know what touches his heart? He looked at them and he said, my, that right there, that's it right there. See those ones that they were willing to do whatever it took. Come on, that God wants us to cut the roof. Come on, amen. And sometimes we have to break up the heavenlies, okay, that are clouded by the enemy that try to break them open, that there be a clear heavenlies. Come on, that God can touch those ones. And God's looking for some people to agree in his word together with him, where two or three gathered in his name, he'll be in the midst. How can two walk together and not agree? I need you to agree. God needs us to agree with him. Was his design, his plan, that we agree with him. We come in oneness with him. That Jesus says, foxes have holes, but I have no place to lay my head. I'm looking for a place. I'm looking for a body where my head could sit upon it. Woo! That place of authority. I want to rest upon a body, hallelujah, with authority. Agree with me and walk with me, and they agree with the head, and the legs go where the head says. That we become his hands, his feet, and obedient and one with the Father. He's looking for people to come in agreement that are willing to go beyond to say, man, I'm bringing them into your presence. I'm bringing them, desperate for them to know you.